Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Ordinary people, we see this with Rahab again, right here in our study. We sit back and say, how in the world do we relate? And you can relate by condoning and forget the biblical ethics. You can relate by condemning, forgetting the teaching of the Bible. How do we relate to all these different groups that are have multiplicity of different things? Relate the way the Bible teaches us.
The truth is, God can redeem any past, even yours. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young continues his message, Ordinary People, and shares how God works through messy pasts to bring about amazing futures. Stay with us to hear that encouraging message from Dr. Young next on The Winning Walk. Before we get to today's message, we want to help you see God's grace at work through every moment of your life by sending you Dr. Young's three-message CD series, Know the Bible, Grace in Action. The fourth volume of Dr. Young's powerful Know the Bible series, Grace in Action, will help you discover how God's grace can infuse your life with power minute by minute. We'll send you a copy as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy of Know the Bible, Grace in Action, when you give your gift. Call 1-800-350-9255. That's 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Ordinary People, Part 2.
And therefore, we in the church, we are to be receptive and understand that when Jesus Christ comes into a life, Jesus Christ can take any life, anytime, anywhere, anytime, in any situation, even a harlot in Jericho and anybody else, and give them new life and cleanliness. And they move from shame and guilt and condemnation and questions and restlessness to a redeemed life. And we in the church have to have open arms and say, we love you, we understand, and we want to see you come to new life and to a new thrust in your life. Now, if we were a member, lest we forget of the church in Corinth, let me show you a list about the membership in Corinth. Let's talk about the members. Paul says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And what? And such were some of you. In our church, there are people who've come from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of relationship, and have entered into unhealthy relationship, made disaster decisions, but thank God, by His grace, by His power, and by His blood, new life has been offered. That is what the church is, folks. Make no mistake about it. We do not condone, as some churches do, and go through biblical confusion and confusing gymnastic of exegesis, but we do not condemn. That's not our thing. We say, come, experience new life and a fresh beginning. And hundreds and hundreds of in our church have gone through this and have come out clean and new and bright and reborn. That is who we are as a family of God. God uses unlikely people, even somebody who ran the best little chicken farm in Jericho. Not only that, God uses ordinary people. Ordinary people. We see this with Rahab again, right here in our study. Ordinary people that we see in our scripture. Go back to Joshua, if you would. And we read there, beginning, about the middle of the paragraph there. It says, now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. These are two spies. And she said to the men, look what she said. I know that the Lord has given you the land, and the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage for any of us because of you. For the Lord your God, He is the God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now look, this was an ordinary woman. What did she understand? She understood, first of all, that the land where the city dwelt was owned by the Jews. She knew about Abraham and Isaac. She said, I know this land is yours. I know that the Lord will give you this land. She also said, we have heard how the Red Sea parted and 2 million of you guys came over that dry land in the Red Sea. You can't keep that a secret, can you? Don't tell anybody. She knew about it in Jericho. Everybody in Jericho knew about it. Everybody in Jericho knew they'd done battle with the Amorites, and Sihon and Og, those two pagan kings, they were obliterated by the Israelites. They knew about that. And all she says, we're all frightened. Our hearts have melted because 2 million of you are here, 7 miles away on the other side of the Jordan River. And I know, she says, that the Lord God that you worship is the God of the heavens and the God of the earth. What is she saying? I see that your God is the real God. He's the real thing. Now, notice something. Was this prostitute the only one in Jericho who knew those facts? No, everybody knew the facts. And the gate was open. They could have come out. They were under siege. But they didn't. They didn't act on those facts. Like in 2 Timothy again, Paul says, always hearing but never coming to the knowledge of truth. That's it, isn't it? Oh, we just hear. We know this is a true and living God, and we know that, but they never responded by faith and went outside those gates and responded to what God was doing with the land. Amazing, isn't it? How they knew and they didn't respond. The gates were opened. You go back in Genesis chapter 6. Here's Noah and his family, 120 years. They're building an ark, a giant boat, and he's hammering with one hand, and the gate to the ark, the door to the ark was open. He must have said, hey, guys, we're going to be judged. Go in the ark. There's going to be a flood. Nobody went in. The door was open. The door was open right here, I believe, for those pagan, hard-hearted, cold, demonic Canaanites. But they knew all the facts, but they did not respond with their life. They didn't go in the door. Leading us to John 10:9. Jesus says, I am the door. Come on in. Come by me. And you'll discover that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and those who are the called according to his purpose. God uses ordinary people. We could flip back in Corinthians, many passages, and see this again in Corinthians chapter number 1. Tremendous verse that we have there. It says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen the things which are not to bring to nothing, the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God uses ordinary people and unlikely people to do extraordinary things. What happened here? The next passage, I'll not read it to you. She proposes a covenant with Israel through these two spies. What'd she say? She says, I know you're going to come and destroy Jericho. I get that. But she said, I have hidden you. I've not turned you in. And she arranged a way for them to get out of the land. And she said, as a result of that, I have offered, laid my life on the line, my blood on the line for your salvation. And she said, when you come and take the land, I want you to lay your blood on the line that I will be saved and all of those in my house. The best little chicken farmhouse in Jericho. Save me and all my family. And that contract was rendered. A covenant was made. And then they said, there has to be a token. And I love this phrase there, token. You find it back in our study in the chapter. Read over there. It says in verse 12, now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness. Anytime you see the word kindness in the Bible, it's a blood covenant word. Kindness. I have shown kindness to you. He is the God of heaven and earth. You also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. In other words, give me a sign, a token of that covenant we have. You know what the token was? It was a scarlet rope that would hung out of the window that when those spies escaped out the window, then she said, that will be out the window of this house of prostitution where I'll have all of my family there. When you come and take over the land, that scarlet rope out the window will be the sign that we will be saved. Move on ahead to the sixth chapter. Let me walk you through it. The Israelites were ready to go in the land. There were 2 million of them. Other side, how much is 2 million? The largest standing army in the world today is the army of China. And they have a little over 2 million in that army today. The second largest army is the army of India. They have a few less than China. The third largest army is the United States. The fourth is North Korea. So you can imagine 600,000 of the Israelites were trained warriors. And 2 million of them were there across the river. Now they're ready to possess the land. Notice, as we studied, all the details involved in here of how you do this, you move here, you're assigned there, you stand there, you charge. They had all kinds of signs and symbols. So this is the instructions. Joshua says, you go the first day, you take a part of the military force, soldiers, and then you take 7 priests, and they carry trumpets. Now, they use 2 kinds of trumpets. They use silver trumpets. That was the shofar, and they would instruct the people to charge in battle, to go out and do war, or they would call to worship. That was the silver trumpet. But these 7 priests were carrying ram's horn trumpets. And these trumpets were used to sound the year of Jubilee. What does that mean? Very, very important, ladies and gentlemen, because those Jubilee trumpets, the ram's horn, it says the Israelites were not going to fight for victory. They were already fighting from victory. They were not going in there to fight and destroy these people. They didn't look forward. There was no battle. They would have had the silver trumpets. Instead, they had the Jobal trumpets, the trumpets that they would blow only on the year of Jubilee every 49 years, when all the slaves would be set free, all debts would be forgiven, and all the land would be restored to the original owners. That was the trumpets they had, not to fight, but to celebrate the Jubilee. Hear the soldiers, hear the trumpets, and here is the Ark of the Covenant. The Shekinah, God dwelt there. And then behind them were soldiers. And the first day they went out, now follow me, this is amazing. They went out and they circled the whole city of Jericho, just about 7 or 10 acres in size, and they went around it and there was not a sound. No trumpets, no conversation. Soldiers carrying those trumpets, Ark of the Covenant being carried, soldiers, and they went around the first day. Shh, not a sound. Can you imagine if you were in Jericho all locked up? There's 2 million people there right across the river. Here's their army walks around the first day. Shh, not a sound. The second day, the same thing happened. Hear the soldiers. Hear the trumpets. No noise. Here's the ark, the presence of God. Hear the soldiers. The second day, they marched around, no sound. Same thing. Third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. Can you imagine if you were in Jericho, how you begin to feel? Man, what in the world is happening here? And then the seventh day, oh, Joshua gives a signal. The trumpets all blast out. All the army there circling Jericho. And all the 2 million people on the other side of the river, 7 miles away, they give out a shout. A shout. And all the walls come tumbling down. They had external walls. They had internal walls. They were about 30 feet high. And on the external wall, there was the house of the prostitute, Rahab. Now, they didn't know how God was going to do this. He had done it by earthquake. After he parted the Red Sea, every other miracle, no big deal, right? When you're working with the supernatural God, how did this happen? Could have happened to any other God, did it? And the walls were flattened out. All the walls, the outer walls, the inner walls, were all flattened out. Except that one little section of the outer wall. What is that? There's a little house there. Oh, that's the house of the prostitute. Rahab is still standing. The Bible said in the 6th chapter that Joshua went, and when they conquered the city and they obliterated everybody. Why? They were ISIS. You say, well, I don't want to destroy the cancer in my body. There were a cancer in the body of Christ to have purity, and so they would know and walk with the Lord. But they spared Rahab and all of her house, and they knew that because they saw in a window there was a scarlet rope. Little village in Brazil, way back in the heartland of that big country. One child there was named Christina, beautiful, young, dynamic, bouncy Christian girl, but she always talked about Rio. I want to go to Rio. I want to live my life in Rio. And her mother tried to discourage her, but one morning, her mother Maria got up and looked in the room where the children would sleep, and there, the oldest teenage girl, her palate was empty, and that mother knew that she had somehow gone to Rio. And the mother went out, took all the money she had, and that mother Maria got on the bus and took that long ride to Rio, hoping somehow, some way, she'd find her daughter who had run away to the big city. She spent weeks there, and everywhere she went, she took pictures of herself. She'd put them on bulletin boards in little flop houses. She put them there in little marketplaces on boards of announcements. She put it there in houses of prostitution. She put the picture of herself all over the area, hoping somehow, some way, her daughter Christina would see her picture. And finally, she ran out of money. She ran out of pictures, and she got on a bus and went all the way back to her little village in the heart of Brazil, crying all the way, knowing she had lost a daughter, a beautiful daughter. Months went by. One day, Christina was coming out of a flop house. No longer did her brown eyes bounce. No longer was she bubbling. No longer was she alive with life. She was older than her years, worn, beaten, tired, discouraged, thinking she had missed life altogether, thinking there was no hope, and she wanted to go back, she said, that little village to her palate, but she, because of her pride, she said, it's too late. But she walked down these steps this day and looked on the little bulletin board, and she saw there a picture of her mother. And she went over and took that picture down and turned it over on the back, and it said, whatever you've done, whatever you've become, it doesn't matter. Come home, she did.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, in today's message, you shared examples of people who did great things despite some pretty dramatic pasts. Why do you think God often works that way, and what does it reveal about his heart?
You know, God can take anybody and use them. And he uses us according to the capacity and according to the giftedness he's given to you and given to me. We just got to discover our spiritual gifts. And it takes time to do that. And when you discover your spiritual gifts and you begin to utilize those gifts, look out. Your life will begin to shine. Doesn't mean your gifts are public. Doesn't mean your gifts are showy. But it means that behind the scenes, in the scenes, above the scenes, morning, noon, and night, you are using that which God has given to you. The Holy Spirit equips and fills those gifts and helps us to discern those gifts. When I'm working inside my gifts, let me tell you, life's easy. I don't even get tired. For example, my gift is not counseling. I do some of it. I listen to people sometimes. But when I get through, I'm exhausted. I'm not a good counselor. I want to fix everybody myself. But you see, when you get inside your gifts, it's so easy. God has given me the gift, I hope, to some degree of administration, how things ought and should work, how to discern people, get them in the right place at the right time. When I'm using those gifts, my life is so easy. When I get outside those gifts, I try to, build something. I try to fix something. I'm going to tell you, whatever I'm building, you'll not be able to recognize it. I can't finish it. I try to fix something. Man, sometimes I break things more than they were before they needed fixing. So my point is, ask God to show you your gifts and get inside those gifts, those skills, and you'll enjoy life.
Thank you, Dr. Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you, and we'd love to help you further by sending you Dr. Young's series, Know the Bible, Grace in Action, as our thanks for your gift of support. This three-message resource invites you to experience God's grace at work through every moment of your life, even the messy ones. Struggling with doubt? God gives grace to believe. Feeling worthless and unseen? He gives grace to thrive in your spiritual gifting. Burdened for others? He gives grace to share his good news with boldness. Drawn from the New Testament examples of Thomas, Stephen, and Timothy, this series will encourage you that no matter how messy or mundane life gets, God is there with you, for you, giving grace for what you need. So call now to request your copy of Know the Bible, Grace in Action, as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for listening to The Winning Walk today. Join us again tomorrow for more proven truth from God's Word about how He can turn you into an unlikely hero with a powerful impact.